what was going on inside that house was a very sophisticated and very lucrative assembly line, a business that created and sent all over the country very high quality fake driver's licenses. These were driver's licenses that had holograms, security features, that had photographs cropped with the exact, precise, correct color background. Really good product, manufactured right there in that house and then sent through the U.S. mail primarily to college students all over the country. We think that most of the customers were motivated by the desire to get into nightclubs before they were 21. But we're not sure, and that's why this is a big deal. That's why Homeland Security investigations and the postal inspectors have taken it so seriously. With a driver's license, you can get government benefits. You can travel in and out of the country. You can get lines of credit. Once that identification document goes forth, it could go anywhere and could be used for all kinds of nefarious purposes. And we're trying hard to identify where all these documents went, what the customers did with them. We think between 20 and 25,000 separate identifications were manufactured, and we have names and addresses. So we're writing letters to all the colleges and universities where they were shipped and actually to the individual recipients, notifying them that we believe they may be in possession of a contraband identification document, asking that it be relinquished.
And is Homeland Security also attempting to track some of these customers to make sure that, for example, they're not on a no-fly list? Or I don't really know how you'd go about checking that out, but is there an effort being made?
Absolutely. We have provided information about these customers to the FBI, to the National Counterterrorism Center, Homeland Security investigations. We are trying hard to identify whether or not any of the novel design customers show up on any lists that have been gathered by other agencies. That would be one indication that these identifications may have been used for improper purposes well beyond underage drinking.
What do we know about the background of those who have confessed?
They were entrepreneurial, attentive to detail, considerable skill went into this business. Alan Jones, the leader of this enterprise, essentially taught himself how to do this, and he was able to create a very high-quality product. Had he put that considerable skill into a legitimate business, he would have clearly been very successful. He recruited two others, his live-in girlfriend, Kelly McPhee, and then a person that he met online who was interested in fake documents. And they all lived together in that Rugby Road house, and they worked together. Each had a role in the business to manufacture and then ship these sophisticated identification documents.
How old are these individuals? Where are they from originally?
Mr. Jones is originally from Alabama, and he, I think, is in his early 30s. Ms. McPhee had family in Charlottesville, but is also originally from out of the area, I believe, in Georgia. And Mr. Bernardo came here from New York City.
And what happens to them now?
Well, they've pled guilty to conspiracy to commit identification document fraud. That's a 15-year felony. And aggravated identity theft. Since they used, Mr. Jones obtained real people's social security numbers and got birth certificates that he used to create identifications in those names, used those identifications to lease the Rugby Road house and do other things. The two-year mandatory minimum kicks in because of the aggravated identity theft. So they face up to 17 years in prison, two of which is mandatory, when they are sentenced in December.
Do we know what they charge for their services?
We believe it was anywhere from $75 to $125. Customers would get essentially a discount if they ordered more. And many of the customers kind of bundled together 10 or 12 or more orders, got a group of friends together and essentially provided a bundle of cash and then got all the IDs in a package. And the volume increased over time. It started out with Virginia driver's licenses, and a UVA student, a single student, was the first customer. And then it just mushroomed from there. He was able to eventually make identifications for 17 separate states, 17 separate driver's license types. And we believe customers were literally all over the world.
And how lucrative was the business for them?
They accepted responsibility for between $2.5 and $7 million. We seized about $2.3 million. So it was a very, very lucrative business, operated from sometime in the fall of 2010 until the search warrant in May of this year.
When we look nationally, are there many other operations of this kind out there, or don't we know?
There are competitors, but we don't believe any quite as successful as the folks here. From what we understand, their product was so good, it was a strictly word-of-mouth business. There was no advertising. There was no website. It was strictly word-of-mouth. And the fact that they were able to make over $3 million and 20 to 25,000 IDs shows how good their product was, how sophisticated they were, and that they were sort of the leader here in the industry. There are others, but we think this was sort of the gold standard. And I will say, Sandy, that we're trying hard to learn from this because we've seized the equipment used to make the IDs, seized a lot of the IDs themselves. That is an intelligence goldmine, and it's allowing investigators to learn how to make better IDs so that they can't be as easily replicated in the future. Our hope is that coming out of this, documents will be more secure in the future.
Do we have any sense that while there was no advertising, there might have been social media used to spread the word about these guys?
They were actually very careful not to put much online. We think that it was simply the satisfied customer saying, hey, I know how to get you a similar ID. NovelDesign@hushmail.com was the email account to which customers would reach out. They would then get instructions back from Mr. Jones and the others. If they followed those instructions, sent an electronic image that would go on the ID and sent payment, then they would get in return through the mail their fake ID.
And do the customers face any kind of criminal prosecution?
They are not charged in this case. They're not targets of our investigation. They will be notified, as will the colleges and universities where they were students, if they were students. There may be disciplinary action taken by the colleges. There may be local prosecutors who decide to take action. But here in our federal case, those individuals are not targets. The only other thing I would say is that this investigation was multi-agency. All of us who work in law enforcement, particularly on the federal side, are faced with crippling budget cuts. The sequestration legislation has made it much more difficult for us to get our work done. We have fewer people and just as much or more to do than ever. The only way that we can be effective in the face of sequestration is if we work together. And here we had the Immigration and Customs Enforcement. We had the Postal Inspection Service. We had the Virginia State Police all together combining forces and achieving this law enforcement success. We're fortunate in this part of Virginia that we have really good law enforcement coordination. That is the only way that we're going to be able to survive in the face of sequestration.
How long has this case been in the making, and do you have a tally on what it cost you?
I don't have an actual price tag on the cost of the investigation, but it did go back into, I believe it was April of 2012, when students at the College of Charleston literally dropped on the ground five of these fake IDs that they had obtained. Those IDs were turned in to campus police, who interviewed the students, who provided information about Novel Designs in the post office box in Charlottesville. That led to investigators essentially watching the post office box and seeing who came to pick up the cash. That led them to the Rugby Roadhouse. They watched the Rugby Roadhouse and they saw people coming and going. They then conducted an undercover purchase. They reached out to Novel Design via email. They ordered fake IDs. They obtained those IDs by mail. And then they got a search warrant. And the search warrant allowed them to go into the house and get the direct evidence, the computer equipment, the materials that led to the making of the IDs, as well as that cash, substantial amounts of cash inside that house.
Yeah, and very surprising suspects in a way. I don't think anybody in the neighborhood had a clue.
I don't believe they did. And it just goes to show that there are a lot of really talented people who misdirect that considerable skill. I mean, Alan Jones was able to replicate meticulously these security features on these IDs. He's a smart guy. And had he directed that considerable skill in a different direction, we wouldn't be here. He would actually be an employer, a taxpayer, a productive member of this community. It's unfortunate that he didn't direct it in a constructive way. But these were smart folks who really put together quite a sophisticated operation.